physically. So I'd like to start by reading the 23rd Psalm, and mine is from the New Living Testament version. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you, Lord, are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me, and you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God for this word. Our journey of life here on earth sometimes seems like a long journey. Some days seem so long and some days not. Our lives as people of faith are not without trials, are they? Sometimes it seems like a long journey, especially when we lose loved ones, suffer health challenges, or because we suffer with those whom we love. Life can oftentimes feel especially long, and I think that's what the author of this psalm was writing about. Here we have the heat, the drought, the political climate, who knows what it is, but our life is still not comfortable. It's with stress. For our little community there in Hardeman County, we've experienced the recent loss of two dear women in the community. First was a native of Quanah. Her husband happens to be the current superintendent of the Quanah Independent School District. She was an avid Christian warrior, prayer warrior, member of our independent Bible study, and she was a respected educator and counselor. Then on July 1st, the pastor of our local First Christian Church passed away as she was hiking with her husband and two granddaughters in Caprock Canyon State Park. So this community is grieving, but we've learned to focus on what it truly means and who is there with us, and we know where those women are. We know they're in heaven. So maybe you came here today needing some stamina. Maybe you need some stability or some strength that you don't have. Maybe there's something bearing down on you. Where do you go for refreshment? Where do you go for rest? Where do you run to? To whom will you look? And where will you go in those days of deep darkness? To whom will you turn to? So we look at this as a familiar psalm, the shepherd here. We've lost good friends, faced accidents, impacted by the well-meaning of our well-being of our family members. Sometimes life just seems a bit dark. And I'm not sure that that's where David was going with this, but he learned to trust God. Seems like that some of our life struggles never cease. But the good news is that God is bigger than anything that can come to us, that we may face, or that he cares for us more than anything else we will ever understand. But we have to remember this too. This psalm is not only about God our Father, but it talks about Jesus. Jesus was there. Jesus was there from the beginning. He was there. And though that David did not know him in physical form, he knew that he was there. So before we explore this passage, I invite you to pray with me. God of all grace, we pray that you would help us today to be still. Help us to be still and know that you are God. We pray that you would come and give your word success. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Can you remember the first time that you heard the 23rd Psalm? What images in your mind? Do you remember then what your image was? What about as I read it today? Did it change? Do you still see that same image? Can you see the sheep? Maybe when she was talking to the children, I could see the sheep coming in. How about that place of ultimate rest by those still waters? That peaceful place where your soul finds refreshment and renewal. I think the thing that we can appreciate most about the 23rd Psalm is because it is simple. In its simplicity, there's so much depth, so much that we can hold on to the goodness of God in that darkness. Sometimes we find it hard to hold on to the goodness of God when things are not going our way. But we know there's a God who loves you and loves me, who cares about you and cares about me, and who will never fail us. This psalm is in the category what they call a psalm of confidence. You've been studying psalms, and some of them are psalms of lament, some of grieving over something that's happened, but this is that psalm of confidence. Dr. Charles Spurgeon called this psalm the pearl of all the psalms. It is a luminescent gem. It also invites us to bring all of our fears, not just all of our fears, but everything, including the fears, the anxieties, the worries. It invites us into this posture of confident trust. I don't know about you, but I first learned the 23rd Psalm from my father's mother when I was a child. I'd go spend Saturday afternoons with her as we were growing up, and she encouraged me to memorize the 23rd Psalm and also to hold it in my heart and hold it in my mind, hold it tight, knowing that that was something I could go to when I was in times of fear or doubt or trouble. I guess it worked because years after that, when I was giving birth to my son, the nurses in the recovery area said, "Somebody taught you the 23rd Psalm, didn't they?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, you were repeating it. There was a lady next to you who was not sounding very nice, and all you wanted to tell her was about the 23rd Psalm." So I remember that time. I remember those warm memories. I remember the thanks that I give to God that my grandmother, whom I call Gane, gave that to me, that gift to carry through life. We know there's been plenty of books written about and illustrated about the 23rd Psalm, about the shepherd and his sheep. Remember the words from Jesus found in John 10. What did Jesus say? He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. They know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." So more than 1,000 years before Jesus, this young shepherd boy who became the king of the combined kingdoms of Judea and Israel wrote this passage. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd, so it's not something uncommon for him. And he carried all of his experiences and his realization as images from his life. He understood what God and his love were all about and the care for us in the terms of a shepherd. So I'm going to start beginning with each line, and we can kind of break it apart as a lesson. Remember that verse 1 begins with David's relationship with the Creator. Very personal. "The Lord is my shepherd." He's our shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He wanted God to be connected directly to him. He understood that. God was his shepherd. This is a personal confession and invokes rich images of provision and protection of our covenant God. So who is your God? Who is God to you? Who is God to me? What is my relationship with him? Is it personal? Have I grabbed hold of it? It's not just a God up there. It's not just a God when we're in groups together. It's personal. God's promised to take care of each one of us, and he's revealed himself to us to be full of love, full of compassion, patience, fidelity, and forgiveness. I would remind you of the folks in Exodus. Remember that God forgave them over and over again. They complained continuously about their circumstances. He fed them. He brought them out of slavery, but yet there was something about it. They just weren't content. But God never left them. He was always faithful. I will submit to you that we're no different. I don't know about you, but I am very guilty of complaining to God when things don't go my way. I like my little plan to be met. I have a plan for the day. I wake up thinking, oh, what am I going to do this day? But I know that God's plans are not my plans. So as one who attended and took care of those young sheep, young King David knew that sheep are notoriously helpless. Did you know that? Sheep are helpless. They're not too sharp, and they're easily led astray. So often when we're unable to defend off predators or defend themselves, we saw that the shepherd came in. The shepherd was able to tend to them. We're like sheep, especially in our spiritual lives, I believe. We tend to wander off. We don't always listen to God's word. We don't always stick by him. But we know we cannot handle life alone or through our own will or our own power. Like sheep who surrender to the protection and care of their shepherd, we are indeed his sheep. David acknowledges this quite well. He is my shepherd. The second part of that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just as a collective truth, this is such an expression of a deeply personal relationship with the ultimate shepherd. I shall not want. The NIV translation says, I lack for nothing. I have all I need. We are indeed blessed. God does give us everything that we need. It may not be everything we want. Does this mean we don't have desires? No, we do. But sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for. He brings us what we need as we trust in him and his care for us. He never sleeps. He never strays. He's always attentive to our needs and equips us to follow him. We may not get all that we ask for, like I said, but God does provide for our needs. The next line said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Did you know that sheep do not like to lie down easily? They only rest when they are free from fear, tension, parasites, and hunger. I think that about covers a lot of it. The great shepherd actively removes these burdens too, so we can experience that spiritual Sabbath, that spiritual rest. Green pastures where there's plenty. Still waters, the safe place where the shepherd leads his sheep to drink safely. Do you remember the other language in John 10? When Jesus describes he describes himself as the gatekeeper. The sheep listen to his voice, and he calls them by name, and we follow him because we know his voice. In him do we find true rest. He leads me beside still waters or quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Can you see that place of quiet waters? Is there a place you go to spend time with God, to know that you're going to be refreshed in your communication, your prayer, your time alone with him? That's where he takes our anxieties, our worries, and our sin. Per Sarah Young, and many of you may use her devotional, Jesus Listens. One of my favorite ones was recently, she describes that this is like restoration. She said, you live among people who glorify busyness. They have made a time a tyrant that controls our lives. Even those who know me as Savior tend to march to the tempo of this world. They have bought into the illusion that more is better, more meetings, more programs, more activities. But God's plan for our lives provides that that place where busyness does not exist. It is that place where you find refreshment. In the translation from Eugene Peterson's The Message, it says, "True to your word, Lord, you let me catch my breath." Isn't that refreshing, thinking of catching our breath? I think back to quiet waters. John and I were graced and blessed to be able to go to Israel back in the fall of 2019. Part of our trip was a visit to the Jordan River. There were many being baptized there, so there was quite a commotion and a noise. But as we sat there, you could realize without all that, it would have been a nice, quiet place, a place of restoration and understanding that God is there. He quiets our life. It also is a place where we wash away our sin. It's that baptism, it's that symbolism of that gunk in our lives that's washed away, rinsed out, and newness comes in. Many of us are baptized as children and infants, and so we are committed into a life entrusted to God. So water is so symbolic. Let those still waters sink in for a moment. Envision where you are in those still waters. Breathe in God's goodness. Breathe out the busyness and whatever is disrupting your peace, your separation from a loving Father. Then it goes on to say, "He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." In the New Living, it said, "along right paths for his name's sake." Our shepherd leads us not for our benefit, but for his name's sake. Walking in his path means staying in right relationship with God and with others. God sends us in the best direction and the place he intends for us to be, that right place. It's not a second right place. It's the best place where God wants us to be, because God created us to glorify him in all that we do. At this point in the psalm, we see this shift is from what God is and who he is and how personal he is and what he is means to us, to the response of the psalmist. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'll admit this was the translation I memorized and I stuck with it. But in more contemporary translations, it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Notice in both translations, when we walk, it's through the valley. We're not stuck there. Death or the state of condition or whatever, where we are and what stressful we are, we're not stuck there because God is with us. We know that death is inevitable, but that crossing over is very temporary. And isn't it wonderful that God has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior? In life, we fear no evil because the path God has prepared for us is safe, because he is always with us and he loves us. It says the shepherd had a rod. The rod was used to defend off the flock from predators. So if a predator came up, they used this rod. And he also used it to count the sheep. The staff, which is very familiar and we see a lot of times, is that hook stick, was used to gently guide the animals, to pull the sheep to safety, to draw them close for bonding. The two tools serve as distinct complementary roles in shepherding. The rod was the defense mechanism. The staff pulled the sheep in closer and used to guide them. We worship a God who does both for us. He draws us near to him. So when we're in our darkest places, your rod and your staff, O Lord, they comfort me. So he is a shepherd who's armed. He protects us from evil. When we're under attack, he knows it. He defends us. Sometimes we have to go through the darkness before we see what he has given and has prepared for us. Luke 15 says that the Lord is a shepherd who leaves the 99, Jesus. He is the one who left the 99 for the one. He went out into the open country to retrieve that one. That's where he finds us. He is protecting you and me, even when he has to prod you, to guide you. Think of the sheep with the hook, and that he's drawing him near to him. Then what does Jesus do? He said he puts us on his shoulders. And then it says he rejoices. He comes out to find us, and he's so glad to have us that now we are protected. So the shepherd knows you, and he knows me, and he defends us. The passage of the 23rd Psalm continues about God's goodness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is the ultimate host. He prepares a banquet of nourishment and fellowship right there in front of whatever opposes us against our enemies. I want to offer to you, this is not a meager offering, but a banquet in which God brings us to strength to face the days and the trials that we have in each day. Again, from the message, it says, you serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. God indeed wants us to enjoy that lavish dinner that he has prepared for us. His table is beyond our imagination and our ability to comprehend. You anoint my head with oil. Did you know that shepherds used to pour oil over the heads of sheep as a practical tool? It protected them, it healed them, and prevented conflict within the flock. First of all, oil repels insects. They would mix it with something, a texture of the oil would prevent pesky flies from landing on the sheep and causing eggs and all that nasty stuff to develop. But anyway, it would torment the sheep. So the oil helped them from being tormented from whatever was in their lives. Secondly, and this was a new one to me, when they poured it on there, you know, sheep that are males tend to ram together. Well, if they would hit glance, it would kill the sheep, the ram. But if the oil's on there, there was no way. There would be a glancing blow. It would not be a direct hit. So coating their heads in oil made them slippery. They were blows would glance off harmlessly rather than severe and maybe even cause death. And then thirdly, the oils were used to soothe wounds. The oil acted as an antiseptic salve to cleanse and heal cut, scrapes, and the bites on the sheep. The application of the oil serves to protect us too. God protects us from unwanted pests, not necessarily of the insect kind, but from ourselves, and then tends to our wounds. He is with us. Then he talks about my cup overflows. Our cup doesn't get filled. It overflows. It runs over. God's blessings are more than just our survival and surviving. He provides abundantly. John 10:10, he said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find good pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, a life overflowing with God's goodness that others can see. That's what God promises us. Then he goes on to say, surely your goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew word here for follow means God pursues us. He didn't just follow us, he's coming for us. He calls us every moment of every day. God lavishes his grace upon us so that we may enjoy the best that he has prepared for us. And then he concludes, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This promise is not just for this life, but to dwell with him for eternity. Chased by mercy, hounded by mercy, pursued by the love of Jesus, we enter and dwell into the Father's house. Jesus promised that he has gone to prepare a place for us when the time comes. He is committed to bless his people with his goodness, fulfill his promises without fear. His love does cover all. So how do we apply these truths that David describes for us? You and I can't control the storms of life as much as we may try, but we can choose the shepherds and who shepherds our souls. Make time in your life to let the Lord lead you to those still waters. Give him your anxieties. Rest in the certainty that his goodness is chasing you today and forevermore. Step away from the busyness that Sarah Young talked about. Enjoy the lavish meal of life that he has prepared, and be willing to let your cup, your faith, your joy, God's joy, overflow to show others about our shepherd. So unlike many of the other psalms that you've been studying, which include those petitions to God or a lament, the 23rd Psalm really is not in that fashion. It's one that says, here's life. Here's what God is, who God is. This journey of faith is filled with trials, traps, and temptations. But it is a journey that we see that God brings us to the table to be with him, to enjoy everything that he has prepared for us. I wish for you to be able to go to those green pastures where there are springs and still waters. Sometimes we have to go through those dangerous valleys or desert storms, whatever it may be, but God is there with us every step of the way. Know that God has new wine and rich, abundant food that has been harvested for us to celebrate with him. And so the shepherd knows you and he leads you. He defends you. But the emphasis in this psalm is the emphasis that he is always with you. He is with you in this journey of life and on your faith journey. There's no simple steps, no quick fixes. It's listening and responding to God. As you go through, may you too remember the Lord is my shepherd. May you have warm memories. May you take that with you wherever you go, knowing that God is always in control. He is always faithful, and he loves us so very much. Thank you for this word. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are with us this morning. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who warms our hearts and opens our ears and gives us attentive minds. Lord, we thank you for the life that we are living here. We are so blessed. We thank you for the country that we live in, where we can come together and worship you, Lord, as one body and one mind. Lord, we thank you that we also have the place where we can speak out when it's time to be heard. Lord, we ask that you protect our leaders and all various forms of government. We ask you for peace in our times. We ask you to bless those who are serving abroad and in the United States. Protect them as they serve our country. Lord, as with the blessing of rain in the last few weeks, we give you thanks. We thank you for the refreshing of the land, just like the green pastures of the 23rd Psalm. Lord, too, may we learn to trust you, knowing that you are a very personal God. You want to be in our lives. You chase after us. And then you prepare this table for us. And you make our cups flow over so that we will share the love of Jesus with everyone. Lord, be with us this week. May we be bold in understanding that you truly are our shepherd. And God, thank you so much for sending Jesus, who taught his disciples this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.